Welcome to Innovation Alberta, a celebration of science, research, and the inventive spirit. I'm Cheryl Croucher. The jury's finally in on this year's grand prize winner in the Venture Prize Business Plan competition. And Leading Edge Technology takes home the big check for its new online exam software called ProExams.com. And Southern Alberta is home to the greatest number of species at risk. A program delivered by the Alberta Conservation Association called Multisar turns ranch owners into conservationists to save animals like the burrowing owl and shorthorn lizard. These stories coming up in the next half hour on Innovation Alberta. The Venture Prize Business Plan competition wrapped up last week at the annual luncheon sponsored by Edmonton Economic Development Corporation. After months of planning, mentoring, and screening, the competition came down to three finalists: startup companies with fast growth ideas that have the potential to really make it big on the world stage. Their final task in the competition was to stand before the capacity crowd of 1,300 and make a one-minute elevator pitch and show a short video about their business.
The judges have returned to the room. The check has been labeled with the winner's name. What a hefty check that is. David Cox and Alan Scott are going to rejoin me on stage here.
And I'm pleased to say that the winner of the 2006 Venture Prize is Chris Labossiere from Leading Edge Technologies. Chris, can you come on up? Academy Awards.
Talk about pressure. I've had to go to the bathroom for the last half an hour. On a great day for Edmonton and Edmonton's business community, it's a real honor to have our business validated by a great group of panel judges and to be included with Mac and Dixon and Ken and Kyle. They have great products, and thank God we're not competing against them or we might not be here. So thank you. I know Don wants to say a few words.
Man of little words, but I got to be honest, it's been a lot of work and effort here and to get where we are and put ProExams on the map, and we're real proud to be here. Gave up a lot of precious nights and weekends from our families, so I'd like to thanks to Diane and Jill, our wives, who are sitting here in the back up here. Thank you. They believed in our company as well and helped us get there, so thanks.
As grand prize winners, Chris Labossiere and Don Reap walk away with $80,500 in cash and in-kind services to give leading-edge technology the boost it needs to launch their product, ProExams.com. Chris Labossiere is the business development manager for Leading Edge Technologies.
Basically, we are a hosted application that delivers online testing and training to our associations and governments and companies. Basically to put exams and training online in a hosted web environment.
Leading Edge Technology is now the grand prize winner in the Venture Prize competition, the business plan competition for this year. What does this mean to you?
Firstly, it's a real rewarding validation of our business model, and we've spent a lot of time deliberating and working on the business model, our business plan, and for the panelists and the judges to endorse that just feels a lot like validation that it's going to be a great opportunity. That's the biggest thing it means to us.
What is your business plan?
Well, we want to take everybody's exams, paper-based or software-based, and put them in online using our software, and that's the key, is to go after anyone who needs to do testing and allow them to do their testing in an internet environment online.
Now, is that just in a school atmosphere, or are you talking employee training, that sort of thing?
No, actually, probably our primary markets are associations that need to license individuals, any type of trade association or medical or financial, insurance, those types of associations need to do exams, as well as obviously corporate assessment and training, where companies need to examination people. And then, of course, schools is one market, the academic market, and people that want to sell exams online, practice exams and study exams, that type of thing.
Don, you're looking after the technical aspects of things. What is different or unique about this product?
Well, we've really taken a step back and looked at all the competition and all their products, and really designed our product with some key features that that are unique to our testing system. Some of those features are we offer a multilingual testing site, so you can have up to six different languages for your testing site. We have a fully private labeled and customizable solution, so if you want your company brand, your content on your site, you can use our testing system to do so. So, and aside from that, we have literally hundreds of features that our users, our customers can use to fully configure the site to their exact needs.
Where did the idea for this come from?
Chris and I are both pilots. A long time ago, about 3 years ago, we were taking our pilots training and saw a need for online exams for pilots to get their license certification. From there, we built a system and essentially decided that our system would work for absolutely any industry that does online testing.
Now, part of the Venture Prize comes from the Alberta Research Council to help with commercialization or research and development. How might you use that?
What's really important to us from a technology standpoint is that we are, in fact, leading edge, and our product is above and always has the latest and greatest features. So there's no question that we could use their funding and their donation to enhance our product and look into new technologies for our testing system.
Chris, you had to make that presentation of your business plan before the investment panel, before the judges. What was it like? What did you have to do to really give yourself the edge over the others?
Well, we had to take 3 years worth of ideas and business experience and condense it into 30 pages of a business plan, and then finally into a first 15-minute presentation. And so, we tried to take the high points of that and what we think would be very compelling to either a venture capitalist or someone investing in a fast growth company, and we highlighted those points and what we think makes us different from our competitor. And then the second time around, we decided we wanted to really highlight who Don and I were and our passion for this business and why we want to make it successful. So we really want to make those few key points.
Well, this is all about having a business plan so that you can go out there and get investment. How much investment are you looking for?
Well, we started thinking we'd need about $250,000. I think it will depend very much on some of the key next steps we want to take. We have some big ideas with our new training product that integrates with our exam product, and a content and information exchange that works between both those. So it's going to simply depend on, I guess, what type of investors we can attract. Without giving away too much control, Don and I want to stay very much involved and watch the business grow and succeed. So I think it'll be a balance of all that.
Of course, now you're video stars too.
Yeah, that was the hardest thing we've ever had to do as business owners is to be in front of a camera, but it sure helped, and Dynacor's got a great editorial team, that's all we can say.
Any words to the wise for someone else who might be interested in Venture Prize?
Honestly, I would say that it is a great way to focus yourself and to really put a lot of highlight on your business model, and you open it to scrutiny from others, but that is a very valuable experience, and it forces you to really enhance it and ask some tough questions. And so, no question, it's a great, great program for new companies.
Congratulations on winning the Venture Prize. Thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you.
And thank you very much, Don.
Thank you.
That was Chris Labossiere and Don Reap, founders of Leading Edge Technologies and ProExams.com, the grand prize winners in this year's Venture Prize Business Plan Competition. One of the two runners-up in the Venture Prize competition was Paramagnus Developments. Paramagnus deals in podcasting tools and is the brainchild of Edmonton Computing Science students Mac Mail and Dixon Wong. Here's what Mac has to say about being a finalist in Venture Prize.
The biggest thing for us is a validation of our business. To have the opportunity to present to the judges and so many experienced business people and to have them select us as a finalist among all the other very worthy entries is a very good feeling for us. Someone has taken a look at our business, something we really believe in and are passionate about, and they validated our idea, basically. So it's great for us.
Now, you had to make that elevator pitch, that one-minute pitch about what your business is about. What is it?
Well, I stumbled a bit in the pitch, so I'll try not to do that here. We have four products and services. So we're unique in that we offer everything from the creation side of podcasting to the listening side of podcasting. So our one tool is Podcast Wizard. It's a tool that helps users record the audio. We then have a hosting service so they can store it online. We have a directory service which connects creators and listeners so they can find topics they're interested in. And then, of course, we have a download tool for listeners that helps them download the audio so they can play it on their computer or, if they want to, transfer it to a portable device like the iPod.
Dixon, where did the idea come from?
Well, podcasting actually started in August of 2004, and a month later, Max started podcasting himself. But after a little while, he found that it was just too difficult. It took a lot of time. Technical knowledge was just too much. So we saw a business opportunity here to develop software tools to make it a lot easier so that anyone else can also podcast.
What kind of background did you have in order to do this?
Well, we're still in school right now, and I'm taking computer engineering. We're about to graduate. Mac Mail is in computing science, and he's also about to graduate as well.
Anything special that you had to do to pull all of this together?
To get all the way here, it's not just an effort of us two. It's been an effort, team effort of many people, including our advisors, Pierre Cormier and Ted Heidrich, who've helped us immensely throughout this business plan process. And if you can see our business plan from day one, you can see that it's evolved immensely just from their feedback and the feedback of the judges.
Where do you see this going?
Well, podcasting is going to be huge. Some people bill it as a replacement for radio. We don't think that's the case. Podcasting is an excellent communication technology. It provides time-shifted audiovisual communication, which is something we've been lacking. And basically what that means is using audio and video to communicate with people without having to be connected to them at the same time. And the fact that it's easy and anybody can do it is really, really great. So we see podcasting going well beyond even our expectations.
Do you actually have customers at this time? What stage are you at?
Well, for most of the last couple of years, we've been in development, so we have released a number of prototypes that have been used by various users in the industry so that we could gather some feedback on our products and services. We recently spoke to the organizers of a national conference who may be interested in using our product, and Tech Edmonton actually is a potential client for us as well. So we don't actually have any customers now, but we have lots of prospects, and we're about a month or two away from actually launching our products to the general public.
And how much are you looking for in terms of investment?
We're looking for around $400,000 in investment right now, which is in addition to the $100,000 we've already raised. That'll help us hire more employees so we can get our products out to market faster, a bigger office to house those employees, and it'll help us outsource our infrastructure management, which has been a sticky point for most podcasting companies that we don't want to have to deal with. So,
what was it like standing before those judges and having them critique everything that you were doing?
Incredibly valuable. I mean, those guys have lots of experience and lots of knowledge about business and how things work. So to have them ask questions and then not only look at the answers but give us feedback and suggestions as well is just incredibly valuable for us. It's good practice, too, because we're presenting for another business plan competition tomorrow in Ottawa. So
you're just on your way there now?
Yeah, we have to leave tonight on the red eye at 9 o'clock this evening. So.
And what's this one?
This one's called the West Nickel Business Plan Competition. So it's a national competition that's been run for about 9 years, and this is the first year that a team from Alberta has been able to attend. And we won the local competition here, which took place at the University of Alberta, and we're selected to go to Ottawa to compete nationally.
Dixon, how far do you see this company going?
Definitely all the way. Through our projections, we're showing exponential growth. The market potential is absolutely enormous, and right now we're just at the infancy of the market, so we're really at the ground floor of this.
Well, thank you very much, and congratulations.
Thank you.
And thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was Mac Mail, president and CEO of Paramagnus Developments, Inc., and his partner Dixon Wong, vice president of software development for the company. The other finalist in the Venture Prize Business Plan Competition was Edmonton-based Collaborative Learning Network. Ken McDonald is the company's president and CEO.
I think getting to the finalist position is an important thing. It'll allow us to approach investors with a lot more credibility because the screening process is so rigorous. Anybody that gets down to the top three is in a very good position to access the investment community with some degree of credibility. So I'm very pleased at having achieved the finalist status. Plus, there's a lot of side benefits that have come out of this, including the video, the promotional video, obviously a little bit of cash, and some of the in-kind services as a finalist that we're entitled to. So it's really been a well worthwhile effort, in my opinion.
Now, you mentioned in your presentation that IBM is actually interested in your product. Tell me about that.
Well, that's the real exciting news, and it's really our key to success in the future. To become recognized worldwide by IBM is no small thing. And to have IBM encouraging us as a company to make our solution available across the United States and offering our offering the sales channel, the IBM sales channel, to us to market our solution is a very important feature and is really going to position us very well for success in the future.
Now, the product that you do have, tell me about that. Where did the idea come from to put this all together?
Well, IBM produces excellent portal tools for business and industry, and they have similar problems to school districts. A lot of people don't realize that school districts, in terms of the size of their population, the information technology requirements that they have, in many cases, is more complex and exceeds what is required by a large corporation. And a lot of people aren't aware of that. And what we do is we take IBM solutions that are designed for the business and industry, and we put an education face to them. We shape them, we customize them to better fit the needs of school districts and educators so that they can bridge the distance. As I said in my comments earlier, the school districts in Canada, some of them are as large or larger than many European countries, and they have schools that are separated by hundreds of miles. And trying to develop a community when you have such big distances between your schools is very difficult. So using the internet and using technology to bridge those gaps and bridge those distances is a very, very valuable thing for those school districts.
How far do you see this business going?
Very far. We've got the exclusive rights for Education Portal across Canada. We're doing extremely well now. We've been invited to go into the United States. We already have a customer in the United States with 14 school districts. The reality is that in 5 years, school districts across North America are going to have portals, of which 20% of them are going to be ours.
Well, congratulations and thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Cheryl.
That was Ken McDonald, President and CEO of Collaborative Learning Network, one of the two runners-up in this year's Venture Prize Business Plan competition. Well, there would be no Venture Prize without Alan Scott, the president of Edmonton Economic Development Corporation. It was his foresight that established the competition 4 years ago.
Well, I think what really impressed me was the youthful vigor of the competitors, and I think today what we saw was the future of this city and the company creation, and it was just fantastic. It made me feel really, really good that these folks are producing what they're producing at the age that they're doing.
Did you ever think when you started this 4 years ago it would make it this far?
I hoped that it would. I did. I mean, I guess read lots about what happens in Boston and other places, and I was confident, I think, that the deal flow was here and that the intellectual firepower was in this community. So I'm really gratified that it's kept going, and the fourth year it's fantastic, and we look forward to bigger and better things.
What does this do for Edmonton's economic development?
Well, I mean, the longer-term goal is to diversify the economy. Certainly we're being driven by energy and energy-related activities right now, but in the future, I think we've got to capture our fair share of the commercialization of the tremendous research that's being done at the University of Alberta and other institutions.
And of course, this year, Venture Prize went province-wide for the first time. How does that fit into the overall scheme of what's happening in Alberta?
Well, I think it was an indication of that this is a program that we did kickstart 4 years ago, went through the growing pains, and I think others wanted to be part of it. And so, you know, we're big enough here that we got arms to open to the whole province.
Thank you very much, Alan.
Okay, great.
That was Alan Scott, president of Edmonton Economic Development Corporation. The Milk and St. Mary's River basins in southern Alberta are home to the highest number of species at risk in the province. They include the burrowing owl and shorthorn lizard. The husband and wife team of Brad and Brandy Downey are involved in a unique program to conserve habitat to save these animals. Brandy is a wildlife biologist with Alberta's Ministry of Sustainable Resource Development, and Brad is a wildlife technician with the Alberta Conservation Association. Their program is called Multiple Species at Risk, or Multisar.
Multisar is a landscape approach to conservation of species at risk in multiple species. Basically, we work down in the Milk River Basin and Pekauke Basin and also the St. Mary's Basin, or portions of it, I guess. We work with landowners cooperatively and voluntarily in developing wildlife habitat conservation strategies for their ants. Basically, we want to enhance wildlife habitat, but also to ensure landowners still maintain economical, viable ranching operation.
What's the land like down here?
There's lots of rolling valleys and large tracts of grasslands down here in the south. A lot of badlands as well, I guess, along the Milk River Valley. And you get some unique habitats like hoodoos and sandstone cliffs near Writing on Stone. Pretty neat, though, just the extreme grasslands all through the south here.
And you said that you're working with landowners. How large are these tracts of land that the landowners have?
Some of these tracts of land down here can be up to 2 townships big. And so we deal with anywhere from a quarter section up to about 2.5 townships. So it's quite a chunk of land.
Brandy, what's your involvement in the Multisar program?
With the Multisar program, I worked as a wildlife biologist, so I do a lot of the research for the wildlife species on the private and public land, and I also help with the development of our habitat conservation strategies, which are the management plans which are made for each individual landowner to manage species at risk.
What are the species at risk?
There's quite a wide variety down here. The Milk River Basin is actually one of the hot spots of Alberta with the highest density of species at risk. For the most part, we have burrowing owls, swift fox, shorthorn lizards, prairie rattlesnakes. We also have Great Plains toad and plains spadefoot, just to name a few. But I think it's a total of approximately 46 maybe at risk, or sensitive species which live in the basin right now.
Brad, with all these different species that you're dealing with, what do you actually do?
Well, we do a lot of wildlife surveys and range habitat surveys for each of the species and the range conditions out there. And we look at what type of habitats are on the ranch and what kind of species could use those habitats. So we manage, we work with the landowner to manage the lands to support multiple species.
Well, is the concern then that, the ranchers, they've got cattle going out there, there's interference with the species that were naturally there. How do you actually work together?
We sit down with the landowners and with the agrologists and the biologists here and sit down and work out habitat conservation strategy for the ranch. So we learn from the landowners as well as they learn from us about what certain habitats these species require. So they could have, say, burrowing owls on the land, and hopefully we can learn from them exactly what they're, how they're managing those owls and apply that to other ranches out there in our area. And also we can provide them with advice of certain habitat requirements these species require. So it's kind of a learning from each other.
Brandy, taking the burrowing owl as an example, what would normally be the problem for the burrowing owl if it's on somebody's ranch?
Well, probably some of the bigger problems would be almost sometimes underutilization of grasses, because burrowing owls require a multiple kind of heterogeneic habitat, which allows they like shorter grass around their burrows, taller grass away so they can hunt in it or hide in it. So the problem is sometimes that some of these ranches, when they're so large, there's actually not enough cattle grazing. And in other cases, it might be that there's too much cattle grazing and that they've drilled the land down to nothing and there's nothing there for that burrowing owl to hide in. So there's kind of, it's kind of balancing and finding a way to manage it so that you're getting a healthy grassland habitat, which promotes habitat for species like the burrowing owl. It just depends on exactly what's been going on and what the utilization levels are there.
Are there any conflicts with other species? If you do something that's going to enhance the habitat for the burrowing owl, does that then create a problem for, say, a rattlesnake that you're also trying to protect on that land?
Well, normally not between the burrowing owl and the rattlesnake, but sometimes you'll see a conflict between, say, something like a burrowing owl and a ferruginous hawk, where a ferruginous hawk, if you put up a nest pole in a burrowing owl, right next to a burrowing owl nest, you're potentially making a place for a ferruginous hawk to hunt a burrowing owl. So in that case, sometimes they can conflict, which is why it's kind of nice to look at them from a multiple species point of view, and we can look at the whole landscape and we can look at the entire ranch and say, okay, we have Fruginous hawks over here. We shouldn't probably promote our burrowing owl habitat there. We should maybe promote our burrowing owl habitat over on this other part of the ranch where there is suitable habitat, and we're not going to have the conflicts between the two species. And that way there's kind of a balance between all these species that would naturally be balanced there, but this way we have an area chosen and promoting for this habitat now that we're actively managing it.
Brad, what do you do then when you're actually dealing with the landowner? When you've done a survey of what's on the landowner's place and you figured out, okay, well, we have to do something for this animal and something for that animal, what kinds of things do you get the landowners to do?
We'll sit down with the landowners and talk about different types of enhancements we could do to improve habitat for those species. And we'll run through a whole list of different ones we could do and get the landowner's input on which ones he feels would be acceptable. Basically, some landowners don't like fences, so we'll look at other ways to improve the habitat, maybe with watering developments or salt blocks to disperse the cattle better for those species. So it's basically whatever we can agree upon between the landowner and us and any new innovative ways he might come up with as well. So we work together.
What kind of success stories have you had?
We've worked on a couple of large ranches here, and just dealing with the landowners and learning from them, I guess, some of the methods they've used in the past to manage for species, it's helped us a lot. We've basically are going to be starting doing some reseeding projects on a couple of quarter sections, looking at an uplands watering system to improve riparian health down below. And we're also partnered with some of the counties and conservation groups down there on a watering project that will be a portable watering unit that local ranchers in the area can use. So,
what did the ranchers say to you?
The ranchers, they actually really seem to like the program. They've been really, really positive so far because we're coming at them with using a multiple species at risk, multiple species approach versus the past approach of coming at them with one species at a time. And when you're talking about an area where it has 15, 20 species at risk on the same land, we're talking about people who are getting bugged every day by different conservation groups, telling them one thing or another thing that may potentially conflict, and now they're actually able to look at it and say, well, these are all the facts. Let's find the best balance so that I can make sure my land is managed the best way possible.
Are you looking for more landowners?
Oh, as always, I think we're pretty much booked for 2006, but we're always taking names of landowners that are interested in the project anywhere within the Milk River Basin, Pukalki Basin, or St. Mary's Basin. But, of course, we're always interested in hearing if landowners outside that area are interested in the project, just to know for future years if we expand further.
Thank you very much, Brad.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brandy.
Thank you.
That was Brad and Brandy Downey. Brad is a wildlife technician with the Alberta Conservation Association, and Brandy is a wildlife biologist with Alberta Sustainable Resource Development in Lethbridge. That brings Innovation Alberta to a close for this week. The interviews you heard during this program are posted as audio files and as written transcripts on our website at innovationalberta.com. And you can keep up to date on technology and research events by subscribing to our weekly newsletter, Innovation Alberta Online. Innovation Alberta is sponsored by the Alberta Conservation Association, the University of Lethbridge, Alberta Innovation and Science, Alberta Gaming Research Institute, ICOR, the Informatics Circle of Research Excellence, Alberta Research Council, the Sustainable Forest Management Network, Calgary Technologies Inc., Japan Canada Oil Sands Limited, Science Alberta Foundation, Ducks Unlimited Canada, and the NSERC ACR Integrated Landscape Management Research Chair. Innovation Alberta is mixed at Riverdale Recorders and is a Porcupine Stone production. I'm Cheryl Croucher.